Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty goodly.
Indeedly doodly.
Oh, now my computer's frozen. Oh, now it's done. All right. Z or X?
Z. You're not gonna say it. Oh. Somebody should. What would I have gotten if I got if I said X? You're not gonna
say it. Oh. Slightly different. Not too.
The softer version.
Yeah.
Like this is the hard rockin' version. Talk about time.
Talk about time. Wait, these are not lined up.
Can you play them both, but like just a couple seconds apart?
Like
start
yeah.
one and then start the other.
So it's like a round?
Yeah.
Sure. All right. We'll start with the softer one, maybe.
Okay. You're not gonna say it. You're not gonna say it. Somebody should talk about two times. This is that you have too many tabs open on your computer.
Desperately trying to close whatever the hell is making all this noise.
You're just like closing tabs at random.
Yeah, probably at work.
Right.
And it's like, did you want to get new service on your... And you're like, oh god.
Make your dick rock hard. And I'm like, oh god, I'm just on Reddit. I'm sorry.
I did not anticipate that this would happen.
I did not anticipate that the cat subreddit would have so many hard penis ads.
You would think.
I knew there'd be a couple, but not this many.
You would think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome.
Hey.
So we have a guest.
Woo!
For episode 401.
401. This is after the, this is really sort of the marathon recovery episode.
Yeah.
So we'll have to reflect on the 400 episodes of Helpful Snowman.
Oh, is that what we're going
to
do?
Where it's been, where it's going. I mean, I think that seems like a good thing to do after you run a marathon.
Just reflect.
Reflect on, you know, where your life has been.
I remember very little
okay.
of the past of the show.
Right.
I usually forget what I had talked about by the time I'm posting the episode.
Mm.
And I have to put in the little description, and I honestly cannot remember what I talked about.
And it's because you usually like don't go back and like re-listen to the episode before you post it. You just kind of have like, I'm going to just throw this onto the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Who has the time?
Well, you know, I guess like that's part of why like professional radio shows have producers and things like that, like someone else to listen to it.
I don't like the way you made me feel when you said professional.
I mean, the people who make the big bucks and have a staff.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I you know, I will listen to them sometimes if there's a guest. I'm more likely to. But when it's just me, that feels very masturbatorium.
The feeling of like, well, I was here for this, so I have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, you would think, except I don't remember. But then as soon as I start listening, I'm like, oh, yeah.
I guess you post it really soon after you record it, so it's not as if you've completely forgotten.
No.
Wait, is there an episode where you completely forgot what you said, and you're just like, look, it's another episode?
Like you post sure.
It, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure there were episodes, especially when last year, up until about this time, I was doing those drive home from the airport episodes. And there were definitely, because I got way ahead because I was recording two of those every week, and so I started just posting them, and I'd have them go up every week or 5 days or something. And so there were definitely at some point I had four or five queued up and was just like, who the fuck knows what I was talking about in this one.
So you were like, you had this bank of episodes, but then when someone would reference an episode because they heard it, you know,
I would have no idea.
They heard it like, you know, a few weeks after you had banked it. You're like, ah, I probably said that.
Somebody would tweet me something that just said like, you know, hey, I don't know.
Keep your head up. It sounds really hard to fly all those flights. And you're like, what?
Not even that. It would be something more like I had obviously asked some kind of question in the show, and then it would just be like, oh, definitely Xbox 360.
Right.
And I'd be like, I have no fucking idea what that means. But I usually just admit it when I don't know, which is always.
You're like, well, I don't really know why you would pick the Xbox 360, but sure.
Yeah, I don't know what that's related to. I don't know what question I was asking. I don't even know if I was asking a question.
You were like, what's the best way to play Gears of War? You're like, well, probably Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Gears of War 5 is coming out. Are you excited?
I haven't played Gears of War 4.
Oh.
Now, okay. I did play, non-technical Gears of War 4, Gears of War Judgment, which I guess maybe is Gears of War -1.
I think
is that
so.
A prequel to the first
Gears of War 0.
Yeah, Gyros of War. Mm-hmm. Gyros of War.
So it's really about whether or not you want that yogurt sauce or not.
Yeah.
And how much of it you want.
But yeah, so I have not played 4.
Mm.
And then, so obviously not 5 either.
Oh, speaking of Gyros, rather than Gears of War.
Sure.
Right. I did have another Durham donor in the year 2019.
Oh?
Yeah. When I, my wife and I were traveling through Portugal.
Oh, okay.
We found another like sort of fast food I found another fast food Turkish place.
Uh-huh.
And I had to have the Durham donor in Portugal, which was much better than the Durham donor we had in Germany.
Yeah. Now, would you say, so a Durham donor is basically like a gyro.
Right.
It's pretty close. And the thing that was interesting, because when we were in Germany, we found that like, apparently, German people do not go out to eat at night.
Yes.
The only people who do, well, young German people do, and they all go to Turkish-run Durham donor places. And that's pretty much it. Or donor kebab.
I feel like the sort of the donor kebab or the Durham donor is kind of like the pizza or burrito place for Americans.
Yeah.
Where it's the, or for those of you who are Greelyites, which is probably a pretty good percentage of the listener base.
Sure.
It's the Fat Shack.
Yeah.
Kind of. Also weird because the Fat Shack has an advertisement in the airport now.
I know. Yeah.
Which they must have blown up or something. I missed something.
Well, here's my theory on that. Okay. They're like, okay, people are traveling to Colorado. They're probably going to do some marijuana. And
sure,
we want to be the place that they're like, you know, 2 hours from now when they're stoned and they're like, didn't I see an advertisement for like a burger with like chicken wings on it or something? And like mozzarella sticks, chicken sandwich.
It'll be the kind of thing that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the market that they're capturing. But, yeah, it was weird. I felt like when we were in Germany, something I did not understand about how they function was it was sort of like, okay, they eat breakfast.
Right.
Breakfast was a thing, and we would eat that at a hostel.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch didn't really seem to be a thing. And then dinner, it was like everyone just went home. So I was like, okay, so they don't really eat lunch anywhere. They don't eat dinner anywhere. And they don't eat breakfast. It just seems like eating out, it was not a thing.
Like somehow you only ate out if you were a traveler, like if you were away from home.
Yeah, but I was like, what do like young people or like weird bachelors do?
I guess that's part of, they just have to sort of eat at all these. It's sort of be like in American context, it'd be like if you always ate at truck stops.
Yeah.
You know.
It just made me wonder too, like do people in Europe, for example, do they just like go home for lunch every day? Is this like normal?
I mean, when Jen and I were in Portugal,
yeah,
like they had plenty of lunch places.
Yeah.
You know, like plenty of places people would go out for lunch. They'd go out for dinner. So like that was just basically kind of like in America, right? You mostly stay at home, but you go out every now and then.
Now, you guys described to me too, like basically a novelty sandwich that you ate, which sounded to me like basically the Portuguese double down.
The Francesina?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is like French for like little girl.
Okay.
Basically, it is a sort of pork sandwich covered in cheese and a sort of beer gravy.
Yeah, and it's like encased in cheese. It's right. Like if you took a Dairy Queen dip cone, mm-hmm, but instead of chocolate shell, it's like a cheese.
Yeah, they just sort of put cheese over the top of it.
Yeah, semi-flexible shell.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, with gravy on top.
Yes.
And like inside the sandwich is just a bunch of pork, right?
Right.
Like, or pig products.
It's like a lot of pork product, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, wait a minute. Like, we're talking about United States, and it's like, oh, the double down. That's the craziest shit I've ever heard. And I was like, this sounds pretty equal.
It was an intense sandwich. It was a lot to eat,
mm-hmm,
and it was the feeling that once I was through with it, I was like, I need a vegetable really badly.
Yeah.
I need to, like, just pick up some grass and put it in my mouth.
Yeah, or like, the end of the meal, the check should come, and instead of a mint, there's a celery stalk with your check.
There's like an like a little orange slice.
Yeah.
Like a soccer game, really, yeah. Where it's like eating this sandwich is kind of like playing the first half of soccer when you're a kid.
You probably need something to help you recover some fluids.
Right. Some fluids and some little fiber.
Feels like it's from nature.
Right.
It's like a bright natural flavor that, mm-hmm, happened from the earth.
You're not eating something the color of Gears of War 5.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is that the color of Gears of War 5? Pork?
I have to assume so. I mean, kind of like a sort of, you know, it is a delicious sandwich, but it does have kind of like a grayish brown, you know, with a little bit of yellow here and there, but it's not like a bright yellow cheese. It's like kind of, you know, it's a little white here and there, but it is kind of grayish brown in color.
Now, does Gears of War 5, is this okay. in the continuing future of Gears of War?
Yes, as far as I know. E3, I think, was today or yesterday with the Xbox announcement of Gears of War 5.
Oh, okay. Now, is Gears of War becoming the, you know, Star Wars of game franchises where it's like people are just getting over it? Or is it like, does it look great every time?
Well, I mean, I'm guessing Microsoft hopes people are not over it. Yeah. Like, they're making it a selling point for their new console.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that people are into it. I just wonder, you know, like, a new Star Wars preview comes out, and at this point, I think about 20% of the world is excited, or the fandom, let's say, is excited, and probably 20% is furious for some reason, and the rest of us are just kind of like, meh.
I mean, I think that Gears of War 5 is obviously going to get some minor gamer fury just because the main character is a woman this time.
Sure.
So it's going to be like, well, that's, you know, going to upset certain folks. I don't know. I enjoyed Gears of War 4. I didn't enjoy shooting robots as much as Locust.
Yeah,
but then Locust showed up eventually.
Oh,
spoilers.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I kind of like grumpy old Marcus.
Yeah.
Who plays exactly like young Marcus, so age slowed him down zero.
I think that's for the best.
Right.
You know, there's certain things like I hear about new video games, like I hear about Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Right.
And people are like, oh, you have to like cook a fish in a pan, but then if you use the pan too much, it breaks and you have to get a new pan. And I'm just like, oh, fuck off. Like, I don't want to get a new... If I pick up a stick and hit someone with it, I don't want to get a new stick. I understand in real life that if I was hitting things with a hammer for like 10 years straight, I would need a new hammer. But like, there's the point. When your character slows down because they're hungry, or I was playing Skyrim.
Okay.
I just played that like a couple months ago.
Right.
And was walking around and couldn't figure out why I was so slow. And it was because I was carrying too much stuff.
Oh, you were over encumbered and could not run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was like, what the fuck? And then it took me a little while to figure it out. And then I was like, oh, fuck this. Like, this is, I don't want reality.
Mm-hmm.
I want a game.
It's like, you have to do the very video game thing of like, you're going to eat some of the food that you're carrying. So that way your lawn is like heavy.
Yeah. Or just, you know, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, it's so early in the game, I just picked up everything.
Right.
And then I was like, well, surely some of this crap is worthless, but I don't know what. I'm like a weird cat man.
You're just,
just like walking around. I don't know what a cat man needs.
Well, you know, you need wares if you have coin.
I don't.
Because she has wares if you have coin.
I don't know what that means.
You have to like, well, basically what you're trying to do as a Khajiit is like really kind of go back to those warm sands.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that where I'm from?
Yep.
Is that where Catman is from?
Well, of course. Like, if you were a Catman...
Well, don't say of course. How the fuck would I know?
If you're a Catman, are you going to live in a cold place? No, you're going to live, like, in the warmest place you can, which is, like, a desert.
All I know is there was, like, I was about to get decapitated, and then a dragon showed up.
Oh.
And then I ran away.
Uh-huh.
And then I was in a village.
Right.
And then I shot a chicken or something with, like, an arrow, and then a guy killed me because I killed his chicken. Which I thought was a little excessive. He didn't even like ask me, like, did you do that? Or like, what the hell? Or give me the option of like, you're going to pay me for that chicken. He just like killed me with a sword.
He just straight up killed you.
Yeah. And I was like, seriously?
So you're going to come back later as like a higher level archer and then just kill him too and his chicken.
Oh, definitely. I will lay waste to that village.
Right.
Well, and then like I was walking around and then I got attacked by wolves. But they weren't that hard to kill. And then a guy, just some guy who makes chickens was harder to kill than a wolf, which I was like, this doesn't seem realistic. Then I went into a mine and was killed by like a wizard or something who shot me with ice.
Oh.
Like, what the fuck is going on?
You're just a little overwhelmed by all of the options of Skyrim.
I didn't even know that there was like magic in Skyrim. And then a dragon showed up and then I was like, uh-oh. And that totally violates my policy of no dragons in anything.
That's true.
By the way,
Peter does have a policy of like, if it's got dragons in it, not into it. So let's Let's go through. Game of Thrones?
Never seen it.
Lord of the Rings.
Game of Thrones, not only have I never seen it, but then I asked someone once, before I'd made this policy, I was like, is this like real medieval shit, or is this like magic bullshit? And they're like, I don't know. And I was like, well, are there dragons? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, okay, magic bullshit.
So Lord of the Rings does not really have dragons in it.
Yeah.
But The Hobbit does.
Never seen The Hobbit.
All right, there you go. So that's
The Desolation of Smaug. Yeah. Lord of the Rings I have seen, but that's pretty borderline.
And it doesn't have any dragons in it, so it doesn't break this rule. How to Train Your Dragon.
I did see that.
Okay.
But that was not by my choice.
Oh.
This was in an old relationship.
Mm-hmm.
She had a nephew.
Okay.
Because what you find out is like when you're dating in your early 20s or something, everybody's got a nephew or like some kind of a younger brother or something that they are really into for some reason. And so we went and saw How to Train Your Dragon in 3D.
Okay.
The 3D was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Then halfway through the movie, the kid was like, hey, let's trade glasses. And I was like, okay. And I realized his were completely smeared with peanut butter cup chocolate. And so I couldn't see shit. And I spent like 20 minutes trying to clean off a pair of 3D glasses and then just went and got a new pair out in the lobby. And that's pretty much all I remember of that movie.
So like you basically learned like to not trade glasses with a kid.
Yes, don't trade glasses with a child.
He's like, hey, let's just trade glasses, and Peter says, oh, okay.
Now, How to Train Your Dragon, that like is legitimately for children, right? Like that's not like a Pixar thing.
Yeah,
that's
like
kind of for that adults.
That feels like it's supposed to be one of those movies where the adults are not going to hate it.
Yeah,
but it's really pointed toward kids.
Well, they made it just enough so an adult can tolerate it.
It's not annoying to adults. It's not obnoxious.
It's not like an emoji movie or something.
It's no Caillou.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so I have seen that. But again, this was A, before that policy, and B, not really my choice.
Right. So I assume you play a lot of Dungeons & Dragons.
I've never played Dungeons & Dragons.
If you're playing Magic the Gathering, do you avoid any deck with dragons in it?
I mean, I don't play.
Okay.
I have played. The last time I played was on this show when you and Alec were trying to teach me how to play.
Right.
Episode something.
And you still haven't learned, because I think that's got to be in the 200s, maybe?
Maybe, if not before.
You've got a good solid 150 episodes where you should have learned to play Magic the Gathering by now.
Well, it's not like I've been trying. Oh. It's not like I'm like, I just can't get it. I haven't
this is
ever
so hard.
Tried. Yeah. I feel like some of these games are different, but some of these games are kind of like for people who are really into having a lot of rules and like memorizing a lot of rules.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like, I think this is a certain kind of nerd's version of like athletic skill.
Okay.
Which is like, basically you can practice Magic the Gathering and get much better at it than. Granted, like, I've practiced running.
Right.
Am I, like, a pro? By no means. Not even close. But some idiot who's never done it before, could I probably annihilate them? Yes.
Yes.
And that's how I feel about Magic the Gathering, is like, I mean, if you play it enough, you'll get good enough at it that you could, any amateur person, you could mop the floor with them and then whatever.
Right. So is there a game, like, when you're walking by or you see people playing at a bar or something like that, where you see it and you say, that looks fun. I wish I knew how to play that.
I think there are times that people have told me about Dungeons & Dragons campaigns that it right. sounds fun. But I think that I wouldn't want to be like in charge of it. I don't want to be the dungeon master. So I feel like that limits my abilities. But then also, I don't know if I know like 5 people that I would want to play with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could probably pull together 2 or 3, but
you could make a spinoff of Helpful Snowman and like just have it be a sort of role-playing game podcast.
Yeah.
Right. Where you could pick like the 3 people you would want to have in your role-playing game.
And then I can try to learn how to
Be a play. Dungeon master.
Yeah.
Or to play one of these games.
It would just be like a 4-hour, 4-episode podcast of me reading and going, what the fuck? What does that mean? Mana.
What is this? You have to have, like, roll for disadvantage.
Gelatinous cube. So, yeah, I mean, I think I would do that, but I think that's one of those things that I'm only as into as, like, if somebody was like, you know, okay, Poon Master Flex is out of town for the weekend, and someone's right. like, hey, we're playing Dungeons and Dragons tonight. Do you want to play? And it's like five people that I like. I'd be like, yes. Yes, I will.
So if you had to have your fantasy Dungeons and Dragons group, not your actual one, but your fantasy one, you play Dungeons and Dragons with five people, who would you pick?
Like just any people ever?
Yes, living or dead.
Stuart Wellington.
That seems like a solid choice.
From the Flophouse Probably podcast.
Would you make him the game master, or would you like make him one of the people playing?
He seems like a pretty good game master.
Okay.
So I'll start with that unless I think of somebody better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Does it have to be people who play this game, or does it just who the fuck ever?
I mean, I think you're making a whole party of people, and like any sort of role-playing game, you want a balance.
Okay.
People who would be interesting, and then also people who probably know the game a little bit.
Okay, well, I'll put Poon Master Flex in there.
Okay.
Because I think she's fun to play games with, provided she gets into it. If she was really bored, then it would be not fun for her.
Let me ask you this question. Would you want how many drinks in Poon Master Flex?
One. But keeping in mind that one is like 2.5 of an average.
You need to keep her like a little buzzed, maybe like verging on drunk, but not too drunk to be able to follow what's going on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and like maybe she just like somehow got a little into it, so she has more background than I do.
Mm.
So like she's like, I'm in. I want to play. This is fun.
She's like committed to her character. Like you make her character a Khajiit. Like she's a cat person.
Sure. Yeah.
And so like she's got this little extra.
Probably she would just be a cat.
Right.
Not a cat person. She'd just be a literal cat.
She'd be a cat and she's like, well, I want to use claw.
Yeah. I want to use disinterested walking around.
Right. Well, I mean, that was totally successful and it did nothing.
Let's see, was that like two?
Yeah,
I need like three more.
Well, you got Stuart Wellington as your game master, so you and Poon Master Flex and Stuart Wellington are playing a game.
Okay. I mean, I'm trying to think who else would be like, I mean, you'd be pretty fun to play with. Sometimes you get very rule oriented.
That might be useful in a thing where there would be like, well, wait a minute. I want to be able to jump on this dragon. What dice do I have to roll?
Yeah. I would probably play with you if you were being on your best behavior.
Oh, so I'm on the best behavior version.
Yeah. There's a clause for you.
Oh, where it's I can only have so many pedantic rule arguments.
Yes. Yeah, I'd be like, you've got these three tickets.
Oh, so it's kind of like a challenge in the NFL where like I want a challenge based on the rules.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, wait, I'm challenging this one.
Yeah. Let's throw Nicanor in there. He does like Magic the Gathering and shit. So
wait,
I think
does he get the challenge, or is it not, like he's less pedantic and rule oriented?
No, he just is another player.
Okay.
Unrelated to the challenging.
All right.
Now I think I need like a wild card.
Mm.
Like someone maybe I don't know.
Okay.
Or should I just pick somebody that I want to meet? Because then it's like a convenient opportunity to meet them.
You're like, I want to pick Batman. Actually, Batman will be the worst.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be like the worst person because he, you know, if you take the master strategist version of Batman, he's figured it all out already.
Yeah, and plus I think he would just be like, this is bullshit. Why aren't we fighting real crime? You know,
right.
I could be out making a difference on the streets. And you're like, oh, just go then.
You would have solved the scenario like immediately as you started.
Yeah.
And so you're like, that would be, you know, you're like, thanks. You ruined it for everyone.
How about, how about this? I'll switch Stuart Wellington to be a fellow player.
Okay.
And then have the Dungeon Master be one of my favorite comic book writers, Chip Zdarsky.
See, this is where you go.
This seems like a good opportunity to A, meet Chip Zdarsky.
Right.
And B, you know, have a whole creation from somebody who, like, makes fictional shit for a living.
You also have some like good tension because if you have like a Stuart Wellington who's a pretty good game master and Chip Zdarsky who's maybe not so great a game master, you could have them like butt heads a little bit.
Yeah, and plus I feel like me and Stu Balls could drink beers, so that would be.
Mm.
I think that's my ideal.
Stewball, like you and Stuart are drinking beers. I'm arguing with Chip Zdarsky about the rules and then like asking Stuart for some kind of sanity.
Yeah.
Like with the rules.
Poonmaster Flex is passed out under the table.
She's laying down under a table, scrolling through her phone, looking at pictures of Instagram cats.
Nicanor's trying to make peace.
Right. He's trying to be like, guys, we can just all get along and have an adventure.
Don't you want
to
play the game?
Don't you want to play the game?
I'm like, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Who's your Dungeons? Have you played Dungeons and Dragons?
I have played twice.
Okay.
And it was when I was younger, and I didn't understand the concept of why I couldn't have like a gun.
Yeah.
And also, like when they said, "Oh, well, here's the dungeon master's like, well, here's your loadout," and I was like, "Well, I want a horse to carry all of my stuff."
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you can't. And he said you couldn't have a horse.
Yeah.
I was like, well, like it was supposed to be a game. I understood it as a game of imagination.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I want to imagine these things.
Yeah, it does seem like there's this weird thing with Dungeons and Dragons where it's like, well, it's all made up, but there's rules.
Right.
So you're like, okay, well, how come you get to make up things? And then when I make up, every time I make something up, you're like, you can't do that.
It's sort of the, like, you know, part of me did want to say, like, what is the thing I can make up? Like, what is in the rules?
Yeah, what do I get to do?
What do I get to do? And that would have been much easier to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had midlife crisis moments where I'm walking through, like, a comic book store, and I see this sort of Dungeons & Dragons starter kit.
Yeah.
And think, like, I could start this.
Yeah.
I could do this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I sort of resist that, and I go home, and I'm like, yeah, but... I mean, I think I would probably pick a McElroy as a game master.
Sure.
I don't know which one. I just pick one of them. I figure they all would kind of be fine.
Yeah.
I think I'd pick you.
All right.
You'd have to man. I think chaotic evil. I think you would be the one who would get bored fast.
I think I would. My prediction for my style of play in Dungeons and Dragons would be, I would try, then I would get bored, then I would get tired, then I would basically be trying to destroy the game.
You would try to end the scenario as fast as possible. You'd be like, can I have a spell that destroys the world?
Can I shoot my comrade in the head with an arrow?
Right. Can you shoot everyone in the head with an arrow?
Shoot everyone in the back.
And see, this is my plan. I would have Jen in as well, because then you'd have to shoot, because you would shoot me in the back to end the game, no problem, without hesitation.
Yeah.
You would shoot me in the back just because.
Yeah.
But you would have a harder time shooting Jen in the back.
How mad would you be if it's like, we have this whole Dungeons and Dragons scenario where, like, it's my first turn.
Right.
Like, it's my first thing, and I'm like, I shoot an arrow at Ian.
I would be both mad and not surprised.
Peter, you roll dice to see how much damage it does. Ian, you do a defense roll.
Right.
Ian's dead.
Ian's dead immediately. And I just have to sit on, like, I have to sit still on mic, but not able to do anything.
Yeah. You could stay and quietly eat snacks.
Right. You just see, like, you hear an occasional, like, muffled cheese. It sounds like... like, sort of glaring over. All right. So I've got a McElroy. I've got you. I've got Jen.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Who would I want? I'd have to also go with Stuart Wellington. You know, I think MVP. It seems like a solid choice. MVP.
D&D MVP.
Mm-hmm. Then I probably would go with, I'd probably pick as a game master, Neil Gaiman.
Oh, okay.
You know, he would do something weird.
Yeah.
Do something strange. Like, not as funny as the Chip Zdarsky version, but it would be much more bizarre, and I think he would fit in like immediately. So I would do something that was a little bit more, I don't want to say, like, he would do something that wasn't too serious, but like a little more serious.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
He would have like a really solid adventure plot.
That would be a good like charity auction. You get like 25 people, and it's like you get to play an exclusive Dungeons and Dragons dungeon mastered by Neil Gaiman. He's gonna come up with the scenario, he's gonna run the game. And it's like, you just go in the room, you play this Dungeons & Dragons, and it's gone forever.
Actually, I'm going to substitute out my McElroy.
Okay.
With Mike Rugnetta of the Ideas Channel.
I have no idea who that is.
I've seen him play, like, when I went to a Comic-Con once, and Ideas Channel did their whole panel as a D&D Q&A.
Yeah, okay.
So like people had to like roll for questions.
Hmm.
Or so like instead of like fighting a monster, like they would have like the monster comes up, raises his, you know, puffs out his chest and answers a quest, asks a question, and it is, and then the audience would ask a question.
Oh, okay.
And so like how they answered it would play into the game.
Gotcha.
And so since Mike Rignetta could handle that, he would be a very good dungeon master.
Seems pretty experienced.
Yes.
Pretty ready.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was ready when the panel decided to respond to the monster with a group hug.
Oh, God.
They were like, can I hug him? And he's like, well, I guess you could. I mean, he's not going to like it.
Jeez, you haven't played this game at all.
Right. And then someone else had jumped in the panel like, I'm gonna support the group hug. I think that's a good maneuver, and we're going to go with the hug.
I would just walk off stage.
All right.
And be like, well, you guys don't need me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little love fest.
Right.
You were saying... You're like, so when I've walked into like the comic book store / nerd gaming store.
Sure.
And you see the Dungeons & Dragons starter kit and you're like, I could see myself going down that rabbit hole.
Right.
What are like the other rabbit holes that you, in the last few years or so, that you're like, you know, never really thought about this before, but I could see that happening.
I mean, that's honestly every cookbook I've ever bought.
Yeah.
You know, like every single one. Like I got a book of Japanese street food.
Yeah.
And I can say I've made one thing out of it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very good.
But you were like, I could see myself doing this every night.
Yeah. Or I got the like the World of Dumplings cookbook.
Yeah.
I've made zero dumplings.
You were like, dumplings every day.
I'm like, I could make all of these dumplings, a world of dumplings.
And then it turns out like, yeah, I made them once. They were like,
they were fine. They were pretty good. I mean, so I think it's probably like every cookbook I buy and then like, you know, which is why I don't buy cookbooks anymore. I either get them as like, you know, birthday or Christmas presents.
Yeah.
Or I get them from the library.
Yeah.
To be like, okay, I'm going to try this recipe a few times, see how it goes.
It's like, you know, I always thought Pinterest, like you look at the things that are posted on there.
Yeah.
And it's just like cobblestones on the boulevard of unfulfilled dreams.
Yes.
Because you're just like, I never made that. Oh, that was terrible. I did make that.
Right.
And it was horrible.
I made that, you know, the Japanese street food one, like I felt really dumb when I made one thing because it had like ingredients where I was looking at the list of ingredients. I'm like, this should not go together.
Yeah.
Like it was a curry that was mostly made by Japanese sailors.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like saying, like, well, they have to improvise ingredients when they're on a ship.
Right.
And like somehow it comes out right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm not on a boat, but I'm going to try it as if I were on a boat. And I tasted it and I'm like, I shouldn't have had like when they said like you had to have some old coffee, like a cup of coffee that you poured into this curry. I was like, I don't know about this. And then I did it anyway, like thinking, oh, the recipe must be right.
That's like, have you ever looked at recipes for like prison slams?
Yeah.
So it'll be like ramen and then crushed up Flamin' Hot Cheetos and then like a square of American cheese and whatever. And they're like, we swear it's great. And it's like, you know, I didn't think about that this is like people in prison.
Right.
Who basically have no access to like actual food.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's probably just the novelty alone is probably interesting.
The novelty, like it's something different. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's just insane.
It's like when I was in the Peace Corps, like this sort of laughing cow cheese was, you know, pretty good. You're like, I can use this. I can use this for everything.
Yeah.
I have not eaten laughing cow cheese since being back.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like,
No, thanks.
No, well, I'll walk away from it. Like, I see it in the store and I'm like, I'm not buying that.
No, thank you. Never again.
Never again.
Yeah. Like every once in a while I run across a hobby that I'm like, maybe I could get into that. You know, or like not, maybe not now, but you know, I think like, you know, I'm going to be an old man someday. I'm going to need something to do to kill time.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, maybe I will take up whittling.
I mean, I do have a bunch of podcasting equipment that I use pretty occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, I try to whip it out every now and then.
Yeah.
Like just enough so it doesn't feel like I've abandoned it.
Yeah.
But that's getting pretty close. Like that's on the fence right now.
As far as abandoning, like
right.
maybe like, it's time to.
Well, it's sort of like I have to figure out another podcast project. Like my old podcast project is just kind of stalled.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think that's something about being a, like if you're a middle-aged man, right?
Mm.
Basically you either have a podcast or you have like a failed podcast.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be like a rite of passage.
Right.
for a certain generation of like, how many podcasts did you start? Mm-hmm. And like, how long was the shortest and how long was the longest?
Like, how many episodes did you make?
Yeah. At what point did you give up on it? Like, how long had it been since the last episode before you were like, you know, this is not happening.
Right.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of these sort of things that I'm like, I could see myself getting into that, but then also I'm kind of like, eh.
I mean, some of it has felt like I could see, you know, oh, I'll get really in. You know, I mean, there's more like stuff I want to do where I'm like, I really want to be able to do the splits.
Okay.
Like the Marie Kondo book about like tidying up your house. I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's worked. Some stuff has worked for me, but I'm like, yeah, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't really care. But like somehow doing the splits, I'm like, yeah, that would be nice if I was able to do that.
Yeah.
But
the tidying up for me was definitely like a big thing when it was like I was definitely moving.
Right.
And I mean, I'm definitely going to move at least one more time. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of hoping it'll be one more time.
Right.
And if that's the case, then I'm like, you know, I could do it. Like, it would suck, and I hate it, and it's the worst thing in the world, but you're like, if this was the last time, that would really add some...
It would add some feeling. Weight to it, to feeling, yeah. To be like, you know what, this is the last time I'm going to have to move it.
Yeah, after this, this bullshit is over.
Right.
Or at least it would be nice to be somewhere for, like, 5 years, mm-hmm. and be like, all right, you know, I can worry about this later.
Right.
But for me, like, every time... You know, we bought like some deck chairs to sit on, well, patio chairs, whatever, outdoor furniture.
Right.
And it's just like two chairs because we have a deck for the first time. Mm-hmm. But I'm sort of like, ugh. All I could think was about moving them, like putting them in a U-Haul and moving them. And I was like, oh, this is going to be so annoying to move these chairs. But
it becomes a thing like where sometimes you're in a place and you're wondering if you're going to stay for very long.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to unpack this box. I'm going to unpack this box. But like I have these plastic containers.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, well, I packed this when we moved.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to unpack it when we move again.
Yeah.
Like all the way. I might just like pull out the thing I need and then put it all back.
Yeah. Yeah. And you go through that where you're just sort of like, how much do I want to customize this space if I'm going to be here for 2 years?
Oh man. And it does feel like when you move into a place and you want to like set the furniture and say, this is just how it's going to stay.
Yeah.
You know, like forever and ever.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, well, we're going to be here for a year and you've rearranged the furniture two or three times.
Oh, no way. I'm not a furniture. I think every place I've lived, I put the furniture in and it was done.
Right.
And I don't think I've ever moved the furniture. The one exception was my first apartment, because then my roommate moved out. So then I did have to move some shit around. But that was the big exception.
That was the big one.
Yeah. But other than... And I ended up... Oh, this is not even exciting. I was like... I ended up moving some stuff into one room and then switching it because I was like, oh, I need to sleep in the room with the air conditioner. And then right. I was like, eh, who cares? And anyway, not important.
Because I think I moved... When we moved into a place, we were there for about 2 years. Mm. And we had one sort of arrangement. And then we wanted a different arrangement, sort of like to make it more of a flow for entertaining.
Oh, okay.
But I was super resistant to moving all of the furniture.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, I'm going to have to move all of this, so I don't really want to do it.
Yeah, just like moving furniture too. I'm just sort of like, that's one of my pet peeves too, is the sort of like, well, we got to move this for like guests. And I'm like, fuck them.
Right.
They're barely ever here.
It was the kind of feeling that was a similar feeling that I had. Jenna's probably going to listen to this, and I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But it's just sort of like we set up, you know, like you set up a house for entertaining, and I'm like, well, are we going to actually invite people over?
Yeah.
And then it's like, we don't. I think we've invited people over to our house once.
Yeah.
Exactly once since we made the new setup. So it's maybe the, you know, maybe it is that sort of being realistic of like, you know, we're just not going to invite anybody over, so...
So who cares? Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's like a lot of, I see that a lot on like your house hunters and stuff, because they're like, well, geez, if we want to have a party, or like, how are we going to have the family here for Thanksgiving? And I'm like, you know, maybe you guys should find something that functions for you like 364 days a year. And then on Thanksgiving, you just punt and you'll make it work. But like, other than that, I don't know. How important is this to you?
it is something where I think our mom is kind of a genius setup.
Yeah.
Of like, she has a table that works for the 2 or 3 days a year where she needs it.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the year, it's like, it just doesn't, just, you know.
Kind of sits there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's got, you know, plenty of house for one person too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think it's like easy.
Mm-hmm.
She's like in that mode where, you know, you have the person who she's like, well, I kind of shut off this part of the house during these seasons and this part during these seasons, right. You know?
She's like migratory, really.
Kind of, yeah. She's got a very small migratory pattern
mm-hmm.
where it's like, well, this is where I watch TV in the winter because it's warm. And this is where I watch TV in the summer because it's not as warm.
Right.
So it's like a, yeah, it's like a snowbird, but by one level of the house.
A very short, you know, a very short migration.
Yes,
like up and down staircase.
Oh my god. So that's like the biggest trap you could see yourself falling in hobby wise, like podcast, Dungeons and Dragons.
I think those are just the most obvious lanes. Like those are the ones that seem like adjacent to things I already do.
Yeah.
And so it's like you just sort of hop over and get really stuck into it.
Yeah, I just wonder sometimes, like you find the person who, I don't know, like you see these old guys. Okay. If you go to like Panera
okay.
on a weekday morning, there's like a bunch of old guys sitting around drinking coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And they aren't like friends, but they're loosely associated. They sit at their own tables, but it seems like they also sort of chat with each other a little.
Right.
Or like when I worked at McDonald's, this happened. And then Poonmaster Flex's grandpa does this, I think at like a Chick-fil-A or something near his house, where it's like he just goes there at 6:15 a.m., and like bullshits with old guys for like 3 hours.
It seems kind of like, you know how when you're a little kid, you're just kind of friends with the people who are around.
Yeah.
You know, like you're not friend, like even if you have really nothing in common, and even if you kind of don't like some of those kids, like you wouldn't associate with them, you're just kind of trapped and stuck with them.
Yeah.
I wonder if that happens when you get old, like you just kind of go back to like, well, I don't really like these guys, but they're the ones who are always around, so.
Yeah. There's something to talk about, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird. Like any place that has coffee and places to sit, there will be a bunch of old guys in there. It's like the shifts are kind of like breakfast is just whoever.
Right.
Then it's old guy time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns into ladies lunchtime. Like if you go into a Starbucks, there'll be old guys in there at one point, but then it shifts to ladies who seem to be meeting for coffee.
Right.
It's really weird. It's like these different groups of people or use it the same space different ways at different times.
Like you have the lady, you have the old guys who are there in the morning because they mostly want to be left alone, right?
Yeah, sort of. It's like they want to be left alone, but they want to be alone together, I think, right. Which is like, I want to be left alone, but also I don't want to be in my
They want to be with the other alone. Old man weirdos.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I relate to that, like when I was single and had an apartment alone.
Yeah.
I was like, I can only spend so much time in this apartment alone
yeah.
before things start to get weird.
Yeah, I definitely, when I was single and lived alone, would do a lot more like, I'll just go read at a coffee shop or something, or go read at the brewery, because it was like, you just feel weird being alone all the
you
time.
You have to like be around other people, even if you don't talk to them very much. You just have to sort of interact with another human being.
Yeah.
Or like be where there are humans interacting.
Do you think that anyone in their life has what they would consider the perfect balance of being alone and with people?
No.
Yeah,
I mean, so I think there's always people who are like, I think almost all of us are unsatisfied. We would want like a little more or a little less, like pretty much all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's nobody who's like, I think I'm getting just the right amount of time alone if they're like a loner, or like I'm getting just enough attention if they're like a non-loner.
Yeah, I don't think anybody is. Like, I think of all of my friends and people I know, it's almost always they would want way more of one or way more of another.
Yeah.
I'd say it's even hard to find the people who are sort of, like, dialed in, like, pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, where they can start, like, fiddling with the knobs like they're adjusting, you know, for to make a souffle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, most of us are, like, either crank it up, I gotta cook these eggs, I'm late for work.
Yeah.
Or they're like, I have to turn this on just barely.
Yeah.
You know, just enough.
Yeah, like I find it strange when people are sort of, you know, you'll meet those couples where they're like, oh my gosh, my spouse goes away one weekend a year and I hate it. Like I can hardly stand it and it's the worst thing in the world. And you're like, one weekend a year, or I'm sorry, I think I said a month, but like one weekend a year, like doesn't seem, that seems like it would be fine.
Right.
Like I'd be like, eh.
I mean, I think I go away more often than my spouse does.
Yeah.
So I think she would be the better one to ask about like what it's like to have the house to yourself.
Yeah.
But I think I had the house to myself like one weekend that I can recall pretty recently.
Mm-hmm.
It was when my when Jen was at a family reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And I did what anybody would do. I got a pizza from Luminati's.
Uh-huh.
I got a growler.
Uh-huh.
I played some video games.
Yeah.
And I ate the pizza.
Yeah.
And I drank the beer.
Yeah.
And I played the video games.
That's, you know, Poonmaster Flex is going on a vacation in a few weeks or something for a weekend.
Right.
And I'm just like, what am I going to do that weekend? And I was like, probably nothing. Probably nothing special. And then it'll be like, the first night will be weird.
Right.
And then after that, it'll just be kind of over. I don't know.
You'll have like a quick adjustment period. You have this idea of like, I will do something magnificent and fabulous. And then you're like, eh, it's going to be about the same.
Yeah, I'm going to do some crazy shit that I could never do. And then you're like, yeah, there's not really anything I couldn't do when she was here.
Right.
It's
sort of like, it's about the same. You might have, like, I think for me, it was like, well, I'll stay up a little later or I'll drink a little more beer than I would normally, but like nothing crazy.
Yeah, well, because also, I guess, like, when you're older, too, it's not like your mom's going out of town.
Right.
And you're like, I'm going to stay up all night. I'm going to eat all the Oreos I want.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I could do that whenever I want to.
I could still live with, you know, I'd have to live with myself the next day. Yeah. So it's whatever that.
Don't you think that's, like, one of the great tragedies of life is that, like, so when you're old enough to do things like stay up all night.
Right.
Or like eat a whole thing of Oreos or whatever, you have like no desire to do that because you're just like, oh, I feel so shitty the next day. Like when you're a little kid, you can stay up all night and then you're a grumpy asshole, but then you sleep like 4 or 5 hours in the day and then go to bed early and you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if I stayed up all night, I'd be paying the price for 2.5 weeks.
Yes.
I'd be like, I couldn't get up yesterday.
It's sort of like if you go out to the bar and have a couple of drinks with friends.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I feel kind of bad in the morning.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you just, like I experience this now as somebody who has basically no responsibilities in the daytime.
Yeah.
And I feel like I could stay up all night. I could do whatever I want.
Right.
And I'm like, I think I'm going to watch a few things on Netflix or YouTube and probably go to bed.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Like, I could go to bed whenever I want on some nights, and I end up going to bed at, like, 11:30.
Right. It's the I can go to bed whenever I want, and it's like, you know, normally I'd be like, I have to be in bed by 10 or, like, 10:30, and then, like, oh, I'll stay up until midnight.
Yeah, right. And you're like, I'll get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or I'll, like, watch something on Netflix and fall asleep.
Right.
And just be like, oh, wow, I stayed up 15 minutes later than I meant to.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mission accomplished.
Seize the day.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. There's just something about when you're young, too. I felt like I could sleep 5 hours, and I was like, I'll be fine.
Right.
I'll be tired the next evening, but until then, I'm fine. Now it's like, I wish I was dead. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wish I was dead.
It is I've had the experience recently of, like, I'll have to sleep, like, 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
And I have to sort of coffee myself, you know, through the day.
Yeah.
Like sort of, you know, sort of Spider-Man web sling to coffee drinks.
Yeah.
In order to stay awake.
Right.
Always
have one limb attached to it in some way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let go of this one until you've got the next one in reach.
If I have to have like sort of coffee sort of flowing like.
Yeah. It's true. Being old is horrible.
I'm waiting to the point where, like, I get that social security money coming in.
Yeah.
And then I could get paid for being old. That's how it works, right? I get paid to being old.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Honestly. Well, here's the weird thing is, like, the first thing is, yes, the money situation, it seems to work out for most old people who, like, do some saving.
Right.
And, like, also, I get a retirement letter, and it's like, if you retire at age 70, this is how much you'll make a month. And I'm like, seriously? That's way more than I make now. Like, why? Can I retire now?
Can
we do the retirement now?
Like, make marginally less?
Yeah. How about if I took half of that?
Right.
Would that be okay with you? And then the money seems good, and I'm hoping to get to the, like, not giving a fuck part. I mean, I'm working on it, but I think not giving a fuck is like trying really hard to be cool. Like, if you're trying to not give a fuck, you're probably
I think,
not going
to
succeed.
Know, I think having listened to 400 episodes, I think maybe not giving a fuck is not the direction you need to go. You just need to give a fuck about the right things.
Yeah.
Or the things that actually matter.
Sure.
Which will be, it'll be different. Because, you know, maybe when you're old, you're not going to be flying as many places.
Yeah.
So you won't have those airport stories anymore.
Well, or just even, like, maybe when I'm old, I'll go to the airport and something will happen that would have flown me into a rage.
Right.
But I'm old and I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares? Like, I just don't care anymore.
I've had worse.
It's like, I always thought someone should make an invention that's like a memory that's implanted in your brain. So it's like, do you ever see that movie Fearless?
Yes.
And it's like the guy is in a plane crash and he survives. And then basically after that, his life is like great. Which I think this movie was based on a study they did of like plane crash survivors. So like after they do that, they kind of all report that they're generally happier in their lives and that they're like things that used to bother them just don't bother them anymore. So, you know, and I could kind of see the logic in that where it's like, I mean, you're sitting in traffic and normally you'd be like furious. But if you survived a plane crash, you're just sort of like, well, I'm not like in a metal tube screaming towards the ground thinking right. I'm definitely going to die. Mm-hmm. So this is better than that.
I don't have the strong possibility of being cooked alive in, you know, in jet fuel.
Yeah. Like I don't think I'm about to die one of the most horrific deaths.
Right.
That can be imagined.
I don't want to be like sucked out of a plane, you know, falling to my death with, you know, totally helpless, nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, like basically I'm worried that I'm going to die one of five ways, all of which are horrible.
Right.
Like the worst. And you're just like, I don't know what's the worst here, but all of them bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I could kind of see the logic of that. So I was like, someone should implant a fake memory that you were in a plane crash. So then it's like you're in no danger, but you think you were. So then you could reap the psychological benefits of that.
You could be like a much more happy and content person.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if I was almost in a plane crash, I would not be scared of like losing my job because I'd be like, fuck it. Like, I'm still alive.
I still survived this. I could probably survive losing my job.
Yeah.
You know.
If someone was like, would you rather be in a plane crash or lose your job? I'm like, well, I guess lose my job. Like, that seems pretty easy.
That seems pretty survivable. Like, people do that all the time.
Yeah. There's not many things that I would take. Well, I guess I got to go plane crash.
Right.
Like,
if it's like, would you rather be like tied to the stake and they light the, you know, the pyre on fire below you or be in the plane crash? You're like, well, the plane crash might be more survivable.
There's a chance I could survive.
Right.
You know, the being on fire seems pretty much no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you rather get lethal injection or be in a plane crash? And you're like, well, describe the plane crash in more detail.
I'm just saying, like, I can sort of like brace myself in the seat and maybe live through that. Like, I don't know what can do. Like, do I flex harder when they put in the needle on the idea that my muscles are rock hard and it'll break the needle? Or do I like try to like go limp and have it pass through me?
That would be the ultimate.
And then like it sort of spurts out the other side.
That would be so cool if you were, your muscles were so rock hard that they broke the needle and they're just like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we still have to kill you, but that was something.
Mm.
I saw something today.
Oh. Oh, and speaking of muscles in the last little bit of the podcast, you did have another encounter with an old African-American gentleman who told you how big your muscles were.
Yes. Well, he's your in-law?
Yes.
I guess.
The odds of him hearing this show are zero.
Okay.
Well, like, absolutely zero.
I was trying to think the other day because I was like, okay, so they're my brother's in-laws. I was thinking about this too. Because I was like, are they in-laws of mine? Or does that not work that way?
I think they're like, you just say like, you know, my brother's in-laws.
Okay.
But, I mean, it does kind of get weird there.
Yeah. I was like, what's the shortest route to describing who they are so that people would be like, okay. And then I'm like, I guess my brother's in-laws.
There's like the sort of emotional moment when you're all together. You're like, we're family.
Yeah.
And but then like when you're sort of apart and you have to describe what your relationship is to these other people, you're like, well, you're kind of is.
Yeah, yep. He commented that he asked if I was hitting the gym.
Right.
And he said it shows. And I was like, all right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that one's not so bad. I don't feel so bad about those because I'm not at work.
Right.
Being at work makes it so much worse. Because when I'm at work, I'm just like, ugh. Because what can you say? You can't really say anything.
That even if it's sort of like a small brunch party among family, like you're trying to make small talk at a party. Yeah. And someone's like, okay.
Yeah. And that's a totally acceptable small talk in my terms. I think it's like, it's hard for me to talk about just because it's not an interesting topic to me.
Right.
But I also understand that would be like if I had a crazy tattoo sleeve of some thematic thing, like a Dungeons and Dragons tattoo sleeve, but I didn't right. really want to talk about it. I was like, I don't really like talking about it that
much. I spent a lot of time, I spend like a couple hours a day like working on this.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'd prefer you didn't mention it.
Right.
So I'm like, I guess it's like, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, it was not a, I don't know, didn't bother me, but yeah, it's so much different too when it's like at work or a coworker or like, usually when I get these comments, it's from older women who are in a position of authority at my work who should know better.
Ah.
And so you're like, it's just more iffy.
Right.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure this dude's not hitting on me. I'm very confident in that. Or, you know, like there's an older guy who comes into my workplace all the time and he'll ask me like, you still going to the gym? Yeah, good for you, you know? And I'm just like, yeah. And I just don't, it's not because the topic so much as I don't really want to talk to that guy.
Right.
About anything.
Mm.
So let alone my personal life.
You'd rather just avoid this guy altogether and yeah. then like, so you're going to the gym approximately between like 6:30 and 7:45 yeah. p.m. on Wednesdays. Interesting. Do you happen to use the treadmill close to the window or far away from the window?
I got to tell you, there's a guy who comes into my work a lot for help with different computer stuff.
Computer help?
Yeah, and he's like a perfectly nice guy, but he's also very time-consuming.
Mm.
Very needy. And so I've run into him at the gym a couple times. Now, the first time I ran into him at the gym, I was just kind of like, you know, hey, and he started asking me questions about his computer. So I was like, no, like, you know, I was like, you know, you'll just have to bring it in or whatever. Because it's like, I'm off of work. I'm, you know, right. it's like a Saturday or something. I'm at the gym and I'm just like, we're not going to talk about your computer. I don't want to have any false assumptions about our relationship here. It's like, I'm not talking to you about your computer because it's fun for me.
Right. It's not like I enjoy doing
it's
this.
It's kind of my job.
I'm doing this on the side.
And then, so I've run into him a couple more times. And one time I just kind of like, you know, went by him and said hello on the fly. I've kind of mastered this hello on the fly where you're like walking with purpose.
Right.
So it's hard for them to stop you. But then he was there the other day and he was like talking to another old guy over by the place where I keep like a water bottle. Like they have these cubbies.
Mm-hmm.
I was so thirsty. And I was just like, how long can this last? And it was like 45 minutes later and I was desperately thirsty. And I was still like, I can't go over there. Because if I go over there and pick up a water bottle, I'm stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, then I'm in the epicenter of these guys talking. What am I going to do? So I just desperately was like, willing him to be like, okay, go either go work out or leave or whatever you were doing,
right?
Or do this but somewhere else. Anything but what's happening now is what I'm looking for.
And yeah, so you had to try to find to escape. You were like looking for a fire alarm, you were looking for, you know, you were hoping the building would catch on fire right there. So would you rather be in that conversation with that guy or go through a plane crash?
Oh, conversation, because okay. I could just get out of that by being a little bit of an asshole.
Right.
You know, just by, I would regret it later, but just by being like, dude, I can't, I'm not at work right now. I'm sorry, man.
Well, you could get out of the plane crash too. You'd be like, I'm sorry, guys. I can't do this plane crash together with you guys and just open the door and hop out.
Just not into it.
I'm not into it. I'm not, if I'm going to die, I want to die alone.
Yeah, but I got to say a little piece of advice to everyone out there. Like, if you're going to exercise and think that you're going to like pick up ladies via exercise, you'll get a lot more interest from older men.
Yeah.
Older men who are just, I think, curious about your workout regimen. I don't know why. I guess maybe dudes care more about that than ladies.
maybe they're looking for advice. Maybe they're looking for what to do.
Maybe.
Or maybe they are like, they're sort of in the stage between, like, they're not quite able to be the Starbucks old people yet.
Yeah.
You know, they're just not quite there.
Maybe they haven't accepted that part of life.
Right.
So they're like, yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one of the older guys who talked to me about it a lot, who I didn't really want to talk to, was always asking me about protein powders and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, the thing about a protein powder is, like, you have to exercise.
It doesn't do anything by itself. Like, it's the diet of the diet and exercise equation.
I'm going to advise that you exercise first.
Right.
And then if you've been hitting the gym for a few weeks and you're like, all right, this is working, maybe then dive into the wide world of protein powders. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's going to be the magic bullet that you're like, now I'm a shredded 70-year-old.
You know, like, maybe also you could say, like, you know, beans are pretty cheap.
Yeah.
They have protein. Also fish.
Well, I'm not even like, I can't even get into like diet advice because I'm sort of like, it's not like he's, you know, man, I'm just a hard gainer. I keep going to the gym, but I'm not putting on any size or, you know, something. He's just like, well, I don't work out and I basically have no sort of a diet. What kind of protein powder do you think would be the best for me? And I'm like, I don't know, man.
None? Bisquick, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a guy in a wheelchair being like, what kind of shoes do you think I should use? And I'm like, I don't fucking know.
I think if you were in a wheelchair, you should like get shoes that look cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the most important thing is, like, do they look cool?
I think so, too. If they look good,
right.
Because really the functionality of them is not going to be a big deal.
It seems like if you're a woman in a wheelchair, that's when you could get, like, really impractical heels. To be like, because you could, you know.
Hilarious, like, stiletto heels.
Right.
And you're just like, well, whatever.
Whatever, I can.
Aren't those, like, uncomfortable? And you're like, not if you're not walking in them.
You know, can you stand in them? I'm like, well, I can't stand anyway.
No, I can't.
Right. Nope, no, I can't.
Yeah, but that's no different from any other shoe that's ever been created.
Right.
Unless I get the shoes that War Machine was wearing in the Avengers movies. I don't think I'm going to find the...
You have to get the War Machine braces in order to wear these shoes?
Yeah. Yeah. That poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he turned out fine.
Yeah.
Turned out fine for him.
Spoilers.
He could still walk.
Spoilers.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Well, that's it. That's all the time we have.
Yeah, we did a nice compact episode.
That was a tight one.
Yeah.
Do you have any last final Jerry Springer thoughts for whoever?
Well, I'm just going to say that I'm not the father, despite what that hoe says.
Oh, okay.
Jerry Springer thought. You know.
Yeah, I was like, what? And then I was like, oh, that's what I just asked him. He's like making a joke about what I just said.
That's right.
It's like, you can't just go off on these crazy... tangents that no one understands, Ian.
It's different when there's a guest, right?
Yeah. All right, we'll see you next time.
All right.
Do, 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 you're a helpful snowman.